It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. And a good Saturday morning to you, and Larry Glass at the other microphone and ready to answer your garden question this morning. Across our listening area, depending on where you live, you could have gotten a little or not much rain depending on rainfall last night. It built west around I-35 and then it diminished as it kind of passed through parts of the listening area, but other people still got a fair amount of rain.
Right. I checked the radar. It's building back up again as it gets into Arkansas.
Well, good for the Arkansans.
And it's that Bartlesville brilliance again, making the storms dissipate. Well, we do have a chance, but it looks like it's going to go south too. But yeah. Anyway, that's okay. We've had not quite our fair share of rain, but to whom are we to complain?
We apparently have enough. I ran a report earlier this week as far as our area lakes are concerned. Watersheds continuing to provide additional water for Pula, for Copan, for the area lakes. So overall, mm-hmm. We're still in pretty good shape.
Good. One benefit is less of an incidence of Phytophthora and Entomosporium.
Oh, good.
That makes things really good, doesn't it?
Headache for people's lawn.
Right, and their petunias and your roses and things.
Yeah.
So anyway, oh golly, a lot of people are asking questions about their plants. Why are they dropping leaves and things like that? Well, it's not unusual. Well, really,
we had an early dose of summer, and of course, now that it's summer, we're getting more spring-like.
So. Well, there are some species of plants that do tend to really have a whole lot of leaves on them in the spring, mm-hmm. and then periodically they dump them throughout the summer. Just let them go. They've done their whatever.
Yeah.
And then they just drop off the tree.
So it's just normal for that species in
right,
some cases.
Those are like a river birch and cottonwoods and a lot of your bottomland trees do that. And it's an adaptive strategy on their part to help cool themselves and so on in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And you just no longer need the leaves. Okay. They just drop them off.
Okay. Get rid of that one.
Right. So it's genetics are pretty interesting how things work on that. So, but we really haven't had a lot of problems. I haven't seen a lot of disease on tomatoes yet this
year. That's good.
The biggest problem I've had people with their tomatoes is using Roundup in general proximity to the tomatoes.
Oh, you've mentioned that before. Don't even say the word around your tomato plant.
Exactly. So they're doing okay. And actually, we've picked up some tomatoes in our backyard, and most of them don't make it to the kitchen. But
so is it time to mulch the tomato plants now?
Oh, indeed, yeah. About a month ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyway, what that does is to help stabilize the soil temperature and the moisture content.
Mm-hmm.
The ups and downs in moisture content is the primary reason why we have cracking on the tomatoes. So you want to watch your watering and try to keep the moisture levels constant. And don't if you let it get too dry, well, I guess it's your fault. I don't know.
Well.
And then the tomatoes develop on a dry soil, and then all that water comes in, and it swells up the fruit, and it cracks.
Mm-hmm.
So try to keep the moisture levels fairly constant. And the best way to do that is to have a heavy layer of mulch. I put some wheat straw around my tomatoes this year.
Okay.
Very good luck with that.
I was going to say, how's that working out? But you apparently
quite
said
well.
Good luck. So.
Uh-huh, quite well. And keeping them mulch is a good way to do it. Golly, at the nursery, we've got all kinds of container and ball trees. We've got a sale on some stuff, too.
Really? So. Got a sale on stuff? Let's talk about sale.
Yeah, let's see. We have a sign up front. Roses, hydrangeas, and cleomies.
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 Okay.
Not Cleo-yous, cleomies. They're 20% off. And we have mixed gardens, blueberries, clematis, spirea, and trees. 5 and 7 gallon trees are 30% off.
Oh, that's a good deal.
So actually, the weather is not so severe at this point as to where we can't plant trees. And the forecast for the upcoming week.
The geneticists seem to have gone wild with some of the new varieties of clematis. My wife was looking at, I don't know, somebody's catalog somewhere. That, uh-huh. Just, we need one of those.
And oh, so yes.
Where are you going to put it?
Have you ever been to a dog show? There you go. There's an example. All kinds of permutations.
Yeah.
And things. We have impatient zinnias and marigolds. The 4-inch ones are down to $1.49. And the six-pack flats are $12 and so on. Elephant ear bulbs, they're actually growing right now, the elephant ear bulbs. So mm-hmm. if you missed out on the stampede, you can still get some.
Okay.
And they're leafing out right now, so they come out quickly. And geraniums, Gerber daisies, and coleus. Sun coleus.
Oh, the sun coleus, okay.
That's a beautiful, beautiful plant. We planted some on a project we did downtown. It's making quite a show, as you can see. For those of you with color radar or color radio, we can see.
Larry's calling it up on his phone.
We can see some.
Those are beautiful.
Plant. That's the sun coleus.
Okay.
And it's really kind of a revolution in plants because it gives you constant color.
Coleus generally, as I recall, needs part shade, doesn't it? But
specifically in the past, yes, it has been. However, they've done some breeding with this one, and it is tolerant of a great deal of sunshine.
Okay.
And having a square stem, it is a member of the mint family, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool.
It is.
And it really thrives in the full sun. So it's been a good one for the gardens. And I like to use them for background color, spot color. I plan on getting fairly good size, too, so in the back of the garden somewhere. Or as a specimen, something to pop up in a sea of low plants. Just mm-hmm. a little pop-up here and there. It's kind of nice to have. And the sun coleus does that. It's available in several colors.
Okay.
A solid red in this case, which actually is a good match for the crit myrtles in the background, as you can see there.
I noticed that. Yeah.
Or in variegated colors, yellow and green and some others.
You keep bringing in the photos, and we're going to have to hook up the Facebook Live set up here so that people can see this. But
anyway, they do exhibit long-lasting, very insect resistant color mm-hmm. and a very tolerant of wide variety of soil conditions too.
Good.
So it's a good one to have. And so anyway, you might think about getting some of those too. So those are on sale as well. So here we are back to the sale thing.
Back to the sale thing. You mentioned roses on sale. It's a good time to do something for your roses.
Uh-huh.
If you have traditional hybrid teas, you probably are already well into your spray program.
Yeah, but really spraying hasn't been much of a problem so far this
year. That's good.
The weather has just been so up and down. And we have had a lot of relatively cool nights
mm-hmm. yeah.
in the evenings. It's just been just a few nights where the temperature is up in the 70s. I can't recall any more than, say, two or three nights, really.
Yeah, but I think you're probably right.
But it's been a very good spring and early summer.
Midweek, though,
really, early we'll summer. Summer is only 2 days old, but
well, that's it. But midweek this coming week, we'll see overnight temperatures in the mid 70s as we get back into the summertime temperatures.
Okay, well, here it comes. So, if you do have hybrid teas, you want to go ahead and apply a fungicide. We have one called Fusion, which is a good systemic type of fungicide.
Okay,
and of course, Benamil. I don't know that we have any Benamil, but. So many new things out there.
Mm-hmm. Benamil's been around for quite a while.
For a long, long time, and it's a systemic fungicide as well. So these will help prevent that from happening. And I've had some people say, well, I've got this beautiful rose, this yellow rose, and all of a sudden spike comes up and has red flowers on it.
Where did that come from?
Well, a lot of your roses are grafted. In other words, they put a rootstock on there, which is very aggressive. Aggressively grown rootstock, basically mm-hmm. a wild rose, mm-hmm. and they graft it to a top stock.
Easy for you to say.
Yes, thank you. a less aggressive top stock they graft it to. What that does is it gives a rather extensive root system, which will feed the fuel the fire, if you will, for these big old blooms that we like on our roses.
Yes, we do.
If it weren't for that, the roses would be relatively small. A good case in point is the knockout rose, mm-hmm. which has tons and tons of smaller flowers, and the drift roses. They have their attribute primarily is groupings of smaller blooms, which mm-hmm. make a big impression that way, rather than individual flowers. So a lot of your old-fashioned roses. I call them old-fashioned, the hybrid teas.
Yeah, so you're talking about the peace rose and some
peace,
of the...
Tropicana, et cetera, et cetera, they have a grafted stem on them. Mm-hmm. And that's why earlier in November we were talking about mounding up soil around it to protect that graft. So we don't have that problem.
Growing up, my mom had a Mr. Lincoln that she just thought the world of. It was a great rose at the time.
It was a deep red
yes.
rose with some really dark velvety extremely dark, dark red. Let's see, what would be opposite of highlights?
I'm not sure. Low light, I guess.
Okay, so dark red highlights on them. And it's really, and very fragrant, too. It's an excellent plant.
Yeah.
So those are still around. We can still get them. But they're a bit more work than most people are willing to put into them.
Particularly when you've got so many more varieties that are a lot more carefree.
Exactly. Now, Weeks Roses, they've come up with several varieties in the Carefree series, and they're really extraordinarily easy to grow, and disease resistance is another attribute they share. So it's just the rose industry is changing a little bit, mm-hmm. So enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
800-749-5936, a telephone number to get you on the air with Larry Glass on this Saturday morning. Locally, 918-336-1400. We will take a break and continue with Green Country Gardener coming up in just a bit.
Talking with Brent at United Rentals. You've also got generators?
Yep, generators for bad weather.
And chainsaws and pruner chainsaws as well, for you to be able to get up high if you don't want to go up in the cherry picker, but you still have some branches you want to trim.
Yep, we've got a long pruning saw. It's 14 foot. We've also got chainsaws if you need to trim some trees around your place. 3801 Southeast Nowata Road, 918-333-9580.
Springtime at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses means new hours, new shipment of plants, and discount Wednesdays. Green Thumb is now open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, and Sunday, noon to 5. And they are busy with new shipments of trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and herbs that are arriving each week. And during discount day every Wednesday, receive 10% off regular priced items. But only at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333.
Bill Coleman wants to be your new state senator. Bill Coleman supports the teachers and our education system. He wants to make education a top priority every year at the state capitol. Vote for Bill Coleman, Republican for state senator. Bill's a common-sense conservative who'll bring his business experience and a no-nonsense approach to state government to help find and cut wasteful spending. Vote for Republican Bill Coleman for Oklahoma State Senate District 10 on June 26th.
Paid for by Bill Coleman for State Senate.
Or locally 918-336-1400. The number to get you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Spending a little bit of time this morning with Larry Glass, getting some tips on how to make things greener, better, bigger, better.
Right. And also at the nursery, we have container and bald and burlap trees, which can be planted at any time. You just don't want to move them. So,
okay.
As far as transplanting them from one place to another.
Not a good time.
But taking it out of the container, mm-hmm. or in the bald and burlap state, planting it, really doesn't change anything on the root system, so they can survive really quite well. We have a caller?
We do. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Larry Glass on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you today?
Yes, I have a friend of mine that has a large garden, and his Roman tomatoes are starting to ripen.
Yes.
And he picked some the other day and cut them, and there's a rot in the center.
Right.
He wants to know what to do about that, and will that affect his other varieties?
The blossom end rot is typically characteristic of a deficiency in calcium. So
deficiency of calcium.
Calcium deficiency,
so,
right.
So what do you recommend? What kind of fertilizer? Just something high in calcium?
Right. We have at the nursery, I think we have some liquid calcium, which would be a pretty quick remedy to that.
And, okay, just pour it.
And we have some other things for blossom end rot that you can do, too. The instructions are on the container. I don't recall exactly how they're applied.
Okay.
But
If I follow the label directions, but I would guess without reading them that this would be something he would dilute
dilute
a couple of tablespoons to a gallon of water or something like that.
Right. The instructions are inclusive on the container. But I alleviate that problem at my house by applying gypsum to the soil.
Will that go through all varieties? Is that a get them all or just one variety?
I would say blossom end rot is going to be pretty much universal.
Yeah, typically the smaller the tomato, the less susceptibility you have to those, to the blossom end rot. In other words, your cherry tomatoes won't exhibit too many symptoms of that, but your larger tomatoes, because it takes so long to develop, can have an issue with blossom end rot.
All right. I will tell her just about to worry his wife.
Yeah.
It's worrying her. I said, I'll call the man that knows.
There you go. Yeah,
and also, if they're planted too densely and there's very little air movement, that can cause an issue also. But typically,
it's come down a draw and a low, where they live. And that could be a problem. I'm sure they hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, that contributes to the problem. But the principal cause of that is calcium deficiency.
All right, I will call them right now.
Okay.
All right, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. You're going to be right on the ball for them, and you're going to be the man with the knowledge.
Yes. But really, you remember back in October, we were saying, well, you got to prep your soil for your tomatoes right now, and you need to add some gypsum and Epsom salts.
A little bit of bone meal might help a little bit, too.
The bone meal, that'll help with the calcium also. But the advantage of the gypsum is it does help. It is rather instrumental in breaking up the clay a bit, too.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of things it does for you there. But at this point in time, to help this year's crop of tomatoes, that liquid calcium would be the best remedy.
Calcium, best way to go.
Uh-huh. What else?
Okay, we were talking about what's going on at the nursery. Bell burlap trees can be planted right now. We sold a ton of trees this last week. We planted a lot of trees.
Mm-hmm.
And we planted a bunch of them yesterday.
Well, you had a good day for it.
Exactly. And so they can be moved. They can plant. You just don't want to dig them up and try to transplant them. They just simply don't do very well this when you do that.
Yeah.
So you reserve that for the wintertime. The hostas are showing their flowers right now. Encore azaleas are spitting out a few blooms here and there.
Oh, sure.
They do their primary thing basically all year round. There's a parallel to the encore azaleas. They do quite well also. And I had the name in my head, but it popped out. But anyway, I'll think of it in a minute.
Okay.
So anyway, the encore azaleas have to be treated similarly. Bloomathon.
Oh, okay.
They have to be treated similarly to azaleas as far as soil type and whatnot.
Still need high peat moss.
A lot of peat moss and whatnot. The encores tolerate more sun than the typical azaleas, and they do require more sun actually than others. So you will get very poor performance on your encores if they're planted in the shade. So they need at least a good window of sun throughout the day, at least 3 or 4 hours of good sunshine for them to do real well, and in an area that is well drained as well.
So this is not the best time probably to plant the encore.
Oh, it's a great time.
Oh, it's a great time. Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure, fine. You don't lose anything on the root system. The only drawback of planting them this time of year is either forgetting to water them or watering them too much.
That would be a problem because we will do one or the other.
Right, and the symptoms of both situations is similar. Leaf loss, the leaf drop, and curling of the leaves, and this kind of dead look to them.
You missed the window, but you don't know whether you missed it on the plus side or the minus side.
Exactly. Well, you just check the soil level. And we tell people to plant them in peat moss.
Mm-hmm.
However, the peat moss has to be moistened before they can be planted also.
Okay.
So that's done either by physical agitation in a wheelbarrow or mixing a surfactant in with the in with water, as we do when we plant them. We use a Siphonix and actually Dawn soap.
Okay.
And it's a very effective surfactant, and the plants don't seem to mind it. They do rather well. At least they're clean when you plant them.
Well, there is that.
It doesn't take a lot of it either to do that. We bought a small bottle of Dawn detergent this spring. Mm-hmm. We're still on the same bottle, so it doesn't take a whole lot to do it. You just have to relieve the surface tension on the surface of the peat moss.
Which really doesn't take all that much of whatever.
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah.
And so you don't have this bubble bath of soapy water when you're planting your dahlias. just enough to change the charge of the water to a positive charge,
right?
And it'll do fine. So anyway, so azaleas can be planted right now also. So the cone flowers are showing color right now.
Oh, this is almost prime season. Yeah.
And I did mention the dog show, you know, all these oddball species of dogs. Well, we have some cone flowers, which looking at the row of them, we have a table where they're added, you know, collectively together. And there's all kinds of different configurations. Some of them are kind of puffy looking, and it looks like a, you know, the poodle in the dog show, and all these different colors and everything. It's kind of interesting. So there's different varieties of the cone flower.
Mm-hmm.
So we have planted some in people's yards, and they're really quite surprised that they are cone flowers, and we do plant them. So because of the color, there's one, it's a very, very red color. I mean, it's as red as those buttons over there, or as red as the fall leaves on a maple tree. It's really quite attractive.
It can be pretty red, yeah.
And they share the attribute of being somewhat drought tolerant and resistant to our climate here, as do the other Echinaceae or cone flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So you might consider getting some of them for a sparkle of color in the landscape.
Okay.
Now, cone flowers tend to reseed and have little cone flowers all over the place, too.
So they're a recurring plant as opposed to...
Well, this is a perennial.
Okay.
But it's very efficient at reseeding itself. So the subsequent plants that come up from the seed are more than likely to be quite different than the parent plant.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll wind up with a mixed bag of color over the years.
X1, so X2 generation is going to be different.
Yeah, all these generations. And ultimately, they will revert to the light purple color, Echinaceae, over time.
Okay.
So that's kind of an interesting thing there, too. So anyway, you might consider getting a few of those and putting them in the sun and heat and sunny part of the garden somewhere that's well drained.
Sounds like a good plan. 800-749-5936 as we solicit your phone calls this morning. Locally, 918-336-1400. We'll take a break, and more Green Country Gardener on the way in just a bit.
When it comes to banking, it can be hard to find a place where you feel like more than just a number. At American Heritage Bank, we combine over 110 years of experience with the highest quality of customer service to give you an unparalleled banking experience. Stop by one of our convenient locations or visit us at ahb-ok.com to experience the difference. American Heritage Bank, member FDIC.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod experts, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Something inspiring is happening at Peter's True Value in Dewey. They're offering you a world of beautiful colors by introducing Easy Care interior and exterior ultra-premium paint to their fine selection of products. Handcrafted in the USA, this high-quality paint is 100% acrylic and affords you many of the benefits associated with more expensive paint. It applies to surfaces smoothly with no splatter and has a new and improved formula to block stains, resist mold and mildew, and also scrubs easily. Plus, it's backed by a lifetime warranty. Shop now at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Behind every project is a true value.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. Growing up in Oklahoma, I had big dreams of becoming a successful country music singer. But I also knew the odds were against me and that I needed an education to fall back on. Studying never got in the way of my dreams. In fact, school gave me lots of opportunities I wouldn't have had otherwise with my career. Please stay in school and try your best. You never know where a good education might take you. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
A telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning with Larry Glass, 918-336-1400 locally, and again, 800-749-5936. Taking your phone calls this morning.
Cool. In addition to the coneflowers,
there are
different varieties and colors of coneflowers. We have, of course, black-eyed Susans.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of variations in those, too. and they create a bit of sparkle in the landscape, the bright yellow colors.
Those are fun.
Mm-hmm. We also have hardy hibiscus. And the hardy hibiscus, otherwise known as the rose mallow, has one of the largest flowers, really, of any hardy perennial.
We had one that didn't do well in our backyard, but I think it's just because we ignored it mostly. But it was
well, you did good. They really like to be ignored. But anyway, they have flowers the size of Buicks.
Uh-huh. I mean, the three holes were no.
Yeah, well, they decent eight holes, whatever. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, the largest flower of any hardy perennial. Some of the hybrids may be even up to a foot in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
These flowers are. They achieve that by, I guess, if you're having a bloom contest on your hardy hibiscus, you cut off most of the flowers and just let one of them dominate. And mm-hmm. you say, wow, I got this huge flower.
It's big.
You put a picture of a child next to it and say, that's how big my flowers are. So that's kind of cool. But anyway, they like rich, moist soil and full sun and to bring on the most vigorous growth. I have one in my front yard in the bed. Tons and tons of compost. I put 30 bags of compost in this front bed.
Okay.
And the things are just, flowers are just doing great. And the hardy hibiscus are getting rather large, actually. They do take a little bit of root space.
Okay.
You can plant other annuals around them. They can tolerate some interference with the root system.
Mm-hmm.
They all already have to deal with the maple trees up front invading the territory every year. But anyway, so they do really quite well. And I haven't had to really fertilize it that much.
Okay.
So they're a pretty good plant to have around.
Well, you did the right thing with all the amendments before you put it in, so
right,
that helps.
They just don't like a lot of real heavy soil. And they will tolerate less desirable soils, provided they're not overly heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I planted a maple, or Japanese maple, this week in the heaviest soil. I mean, I had to jump on the shovel.
Wow.
I dug a hole easily.
That's about three feet around. That's 1.5 to 2 bushel baskets there.
Yeah, about 3 feet around in order to plant this, just so it will survive and adapt to the soil conditions mm-hmm. right there. So anyway, they do like a fairly loose soil. So if you really have to jump on a shovel to plant them, it's probably not the best one you might want to plant in this situation. Just enjoy the dandelions that bloom.
Okay. Look at all the pretty yellow flowers.
They're pretty yellow flowers. Anyway, colors range from crimson to white to pink to rose and somewhere in between. They're primarily in red colors. They really have not come out with a yellow one quite yet. I'm sure it's on its way.
Okay.
But it's limited to reds and pinks at this point in time. And some variations. There's some that are pink and white and so on, different colors on the same flower. So,
mm-hmm.
so they've come up with different variations there. But the geneticists have not come up with a good, more colors, but really they're very attractive. Anyway, following the spring and summer growing season, the plants freeze back to the ground each fall. Which,
yes.
When we have a freeze around Halloween, they go all the way down. And old stems should be cut back at a height of several inches above the ground, just so you don't lose track of it and plow it under.
Mm-hmm. Don't want to do that.
And they come out typically later than a lot of perennials in the garden. In mid-spring or so is when they come up. And some people say, well, my hardy hibiscus isn't coming up. I said, just wait.
It'll be there.
Yeah, they're very reliable recurring plants. They're very, very rarely do they not make it throughout the winter here. So. And they quickly develop their foliage and flowers by early summer. The individual flowers last only one day.
That's the bad part. It's here, it's gone. Take
but
a picture
produce,
of it.
They produce several flowers at one time. And there's so much just so much beauty for that one plant.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't bloom the entire time. I'm sure they're working on that too, or it'll bloom all summer. But that's probably someday to come. But anyway, the hardy hibiscus is one that you want to put in the garden and you want to make sure to give it room to grow. If you want to plant some annuals around it, plant something low.
Okay.
The bubblegum petunia, or the parallels to the bubblegum, different colors,
mm-hmm.
stay fairly low to the ground. That'll be a good base for these plants. They're also available in several colored leaves, too. There's one with a red leaf on it.
Okay.
That's when it is not in bloom.
You get some color that way.
Colored leaves on it, which are really quite attractive. So anyway, consider the hardy hibiscus in the garden somewhere. It was lots of sunshine, a good drainage, and good soil.
Wow. Yeah. You keep bringing up that good soil part.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, the rose mallow itself is a native hibiscus found in Louisiana and other Gulf states. And they originated in good, moist soil over there.
Mm-hmm.
However, they have been able to adapt. Okay. They're very adaptable, like silver maples. They grow about anywhere.
Yes,
but you don't necessarily want a silver maple, but anyway, they grow just about anywhere, and they're quite hardy. So getting a hardy hibiscus for highlight in the landscape is a good one to have.
Sounds like a great idea.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So other stuff going on this week at the nursery?
If you have to think, if you have to think about it that long, we'll take a break. Let Larry
consider
what else is going on at the nursery. We will accept your phone calls in case he still doesn't think about it, and we will continue the telephone number 800-749-5936.
Springtime at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses means new hours, new shipment of plants, and discount Wednesdays. Green Thumb is now open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, and Sunday, noon to 5. And they are busy with new shipments of trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and herbs that are arriving each week. And during discount day every Wednesday, receive 10% off regular priced items. But only at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants.
Hi, I'm Daryl Fincher, Republican for House District 11. Supporting new ways of working and new technologies will be how we will successfully continue to support our existing businesses and entice new and advanced businesses to build our Oklahoma economy. District 11 needs a representative who not only understands business, but the future of business. It's time for fresh eyes and a new perspective. It's time for change. On June 26th, vote for Daryl Fincher, authorized and paid for by Fincher for House 2018.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload. It's coming at me from all directions. And you know what? Bottom line, I just need the news that matters. So where do I turn? Local radio and TV. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town. They give me the real story with information I know I can rely on. So where else can I find out what's happening in my community? Weather and traffic, things that affect my family and my business. I want to stay informed by sources I trust, my local radio and TV stations. For the best entertainment, sports, news, traffic, and weather, with no agenda and more reliable than other platforms. So if you ask me for the information I want anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local station. Text radio to 52886 today. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
The telephone number gets you on the air on this Saturday morning. Locally, again, 918-336-1400. Either telephone number will get you right in the door to Larry Glass.
Exactly. Now, at the nursery, we have a collection of plants I mentioned earlier that the hummingbirds and the butterflies like.
Oh, okay.
So just as you go in on the east door, there is a 16 by 4 foot bench,
mm-hmm.
full of plants that attract butterflies and hummingbirds and whatnot.
Okay.
So check it out. And incorporated into that are the salvias and the...
I see some very beautiful-looking flowers to mm-hmm. the human eye, but it's the hummingbirds that really like them.
Precisely. So anyway, you might want to check that out. And it brings up salvia. Annual salvia is a tender tropical perennial that's typically grown in warm weather, which we typically have.
We kind of specialize in that, yeah.
Exactly. it's a bedding plant that's been planted. It has long been a garden standard, reliably blooming and for an overextended period of time. There are even more varieties are being developed, giving a wide range of colors, including white, salmon, and purple, and as well as the traditional, red color ones, too. The height's anywhere from 8 inches to 3 feet. And the leaves are bright to dark green, and kind of elliptical leaves on it and tooth.
Okay.
But you can tell this one typically by the square stem. So that's when you know you're getting a genuine salvia.
Square stem.
So there are other plants that kind of look like that. One of my favorites is the Petrovska.
That's the Russian
sage, yes. And it has this grayish, bluish foliage, and it's topped by some some flowers, mm-hmm. Salvia-like flowers on it. It's really quite attractive plant. It's a perennial.
Okay.
I think, yeah. It is. It is a perennial.
All right.
And it's somewhat fragrant, too. It's a good plant to have in a droughty situation, in a rock garden on a hill somewhere where nothing else will grow.
Wow.
It does really quite well. You might consider getting one of those. There are a lot of plants out there like that that you can plant, and we've got some good examples of all of them, really.
Well, that's the nice thing about going to a professional nursery as opposed to the plant section of the local big box store. Mm-hmm. You've got somebody who can make some suggestions for you.
Exactly. We do have a lot of sedums as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sedums is kind of like begonias. There's so many variations of begonias. And you go into the greenhouse, and there's some that don't even look like them, but they really are begonias.
A begonia that doesn't
look
like a begonia.
It's hard to convince people that's a begonia.
But it doesn't look like a begonia.
It is a begonia, technically. So anyway, there's all kinds of permutations and variations in sedum, too.
Mm-hmm.
And sedum do very well in a droughty situation. We have some hens and chicks, too. Some big hens and chicks and little hens and chicks. And
okay. They come in all sizes.
So we are very well prepared to supply people with plants for their dry their dry gardens, if mm-hmm. you will, xerographic landscapes. So anyway, come check those out too.
Okay, sound like something that wouldn't take a lot of time to develop on that one.
Yeah, one thing we can talk about is post-emergent crabgrass control.
That's called pulling them up, isn't it?
Hmm. Yes. Anyway, quinclorac is the one that's used mostly now.
Okay,
and it's a crabgrass, of course, is a worm season annual grass. Everybody has it.
Yes.
I was at somebody's house yesterday and said, "What's crabgrass doing in your yard?" And I just pulled it up. You know, he just kind of laughed.
That's what my folks told me. Crab, get out there and pull it up.
It grows. Okay, just joking with him, giving him a hard time. It grows in the heat in midsummer, and it overwinters, of course, as seed, mm-hmm. which we can control it with a pre-emergent control. Which I actually did this year and had very little crabgrass this year, so it paid off. It comes up about mid-May or later, which it was right on schedule this year, and it is killed by the fall frosts. Crabgrass is not shade tolerant and grows best in the full sun, and several lawn care practices can be used to help control crabgrass. That is the keeping the yard well fertilized, mm-hmm. not overwatered. Just water it. Don't water it on a timer. Water it when it needs it. And you should do a good job of controlling crabgrass.
Okay.
But probably one of the better ways to control it is to maintain a fairly dense yard and use a pre-emergent crabgrass control later on. I was at a house this week. The whole yard was nothing but crabgrass.
It's a lot of crabgrass.
Yeah, and they were mowing it early. And crabgrass has a way of kind of staying inside the mower deck.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of rolling over on itself. And
I hadn't thought about that.
But it does. It's a mess. It's kind of stringy and a lot of water in it. And it's difficult for the mower to, a typical, rotary mower, mm-hmm. to cut. And I know that from personal experience. It's a real, it really bogs the mower down.
And if you get the mower on a mulching setup, it's going to...
Oh, it's even worse.
Yeah, it would have to be.
It'll stall out the motor. Terrible. So do what you can to control it. And the best way is to have a good, healthy yard and use keep the mower, to keep the grass fairly tall, too. It does help a lot to do that.
Okay.
So that's kind of it. Now, using a post-emergent crabgrass control like quinclorac is kind of a last resort kind of thing. So you really need to control this earlier in the year.
Okay.
But the quinclorac has some pretty good effect on it.
Is that a granule that you water in then?
It's
or?
A spray.
Okay.
Uh-huh. We have it incorporated into a broad spectrum weed control for lawns. It's a Fertilome product that has quinclorac in it, and it controls broadleaf weed as well. We're having problems with spurge at this point. Spurge is a tough one to control because it has a very small hair on it, and the water tends to just bounce off of it.
Beat up and bounce off.
It bounces off it. So this stuff has a surfactant in it to help it get into the plant to control it. So anyway, it's almost too late to control the crabgrass. So you're just about stuck with it. We're at almost to the point where it's grown, it's matured, it's getting mm-hmm. ready to go to seed. When that happens. it's very difficult to control.
Yes.
So you're just about too late for that. So anyway, that's kind of the story about crabgrass. Listen to the show in around St. Patrick's Day, and then that's when we give out the crabgrass alert.
Yes.
I don't have crabgrass, but I would need to put something down for that. Yeah, you will
you
have it.
You will be.
You will have it, yeah.
800-749-5936 is the telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener this morning. We'll take our final break and solicit your phone calls when we continue in just a bit.
I'm Dr. Tom Coburn. You may be aware that a shadowy group is conducting a liberal deceptive smear, a campaign, against incumbent conservative state representative Chuck Strom and Sean Roberts. Chuck Strom and Sean Roberts are courageous conservative leaders who have fought to defend life, your Second Amendment rights, and lower taxes. Chuck and Sean need to be reelected, and I trust voters will see through these last-minute smear attacks and vote for Representatives Chuck Strom and Sean Roberts rather than falling for misleading ads against them. I'm Dr. Tom Coburn. Thank you and God bless. Authorized and paid for by Friends of Chuck Strom 2018 and Sean Roberts for State House 2018.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Did you know that people born from 1945 to 1965 have the highest rates of hepatitis C, but most don't know they're infected? People can live for decades without symptoms, but over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage and even liver cancer. If you were born from 1945 to 1965, the CDC recommends that you get a blood test for hepatitis C. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
The telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener, and the lines have lit up on the phone lines. We'll go to caller and say good morning. You're on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today? Well, I thought I had the line seized. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
What is on?
I'm sorry?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air? Hello? Well, let's try this line. Good morning, caller. You are on the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I have a real problem in my yard with violets. Is there any chemical that we can use any time of the year to control those?
Yes, violets are susceptible to broadleaf herbicides such as 2,4-D or Trimec, things like that. So, yeah, we have one that will effectively control the violets. But the violets like poor soil. So in addition to that, you might want to consider fertilizing as well.
Okay. Well, we've put a lot of fertilizer on there, and they love it.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
They're doing well.
good for them. But usually the heat kicks them out usually. But you want to use a broadleaf herbicide on those.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. And I think we have another caller. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Green Country Gardener and Larry Glass. What can we do for you today?
Okay. My tomatoes have been doing great.
Great.
But then I go out there and one of them has got like leaf curl.
Right.
But the one right next to it is fine.
Yeah.
Is that just the weather?
Are they of a similar species, or similar variety of tomato?
It's an early girl.
Both of them are early girl tomatoes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Look real close at the leaf. Look for either spider mites or aphids. I know the spider mite populations go up pretty fast when we have
warm weather. I looked and I couldn't find anything, okay. I'll try again.
It could be leaf curl is a disease they get also, and also herbicides applied in general, proximity to the plants can cause some issues also.
Yeah, well, I hadn't done any of that. So.
Okay, yeah. Well, leaf curl is a bit of a problem with some varieties of tomatoes, and some of them are resistant to that. So.
Okay. I do remember spraying. I had a big feed tub that I had raised potatoes in,
uh-huh.
and I had found red ants in it,
yes.
and I had sprayed my bug spray. It was closer to it. Would that have affected it?
If it was, it's difficult to say whatever was sprayed. Sometimes there are the carriers they use on their, in their herbicides or insecticides can cause problems with other things. Tomatoes are very sensitive to a lot of things.
Right.
So you
okay.
want.
Okay.
So,
well, I thought maybe I was overwatering them or not watering, but I thought, oh, it's probably the weather.
Yeah, more than likely it is the weather. but anyway, leaf curl is a disease that they can get.
Well, is that like what the peach trees get?
Different species altogether, yeah. Peaches have it works a little differently on peaches than it does tomatoes.
So you don't have a hard and fast solution on leaf curl for tomatoes?
At this point in time, no. You might next year perhaps pick a different variety of a tomato. And,
okay.
Although
you were talking about this blossom end rot, I've always put lime on mine. Is that the same as calcium?
Yep.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Now, tomatoes do like a pH of about 6.5, and the lime will tend to raise the pH a little bit. But I don't think it's affecting your plants that much.
Well, so far so good.
A good thing in your specific situation, perhaps, is to plant different varieties of tomatoes. And may the best man win on that one, and that would be the one you would want to pick.
So, like, maybe just continue some with her early girls, but then get, like, a better boy or something
yeah,
else.
Yeah, and then try some heirlooms and other things and see which one performs better in your garden.
Well, I do have... But not next to this one, but I have Celebrity and Beefsteak.
Right.
So hopefully they will.
How are they
all
doing?
Right, thank those, you.
Thank
all
you.
Right, thank you for calling.
Appreciate that one. Yeah, it's sometimes, like you said, it's just one variety that gets it.
Well, when you get them, you can actually get a seed catalog. They'll have these letters after the name.
VFNT.
VFNT and whatever, et cetera,
yeah.
et cetera. And that'll tell you, that'll give you the resistance they have. Now, the term is resistance.
There's not a complete
immunity to it, but there's a good resistance to it. And if the conditions get bad enough, there's a certain degree of susceptibility that can cause problems with that. But I did mention mites as a possible problem there, too. And you can use neem oil to control the mite. It works physiologically on the mite. It really mm-hmm. doesn't. It's not like an insecticide. You have to get the whole plant wet for that to work. And any insecticide you do put on your tomatoes, you do want to do in the early morning hours or in the evening hours. The phytotoxicity is a real bad problem with them in the sunshine. So you want to be sure not to do it in a time. Or if there's cloudy weather coming, mm-hmm. maybe a good time to spray them too. So soapy water works real well too. I do say soapy water, not soap, but soapy water.
Right.
A good cure-all for a lot of things on tomatoes. You know, throw out the dishwater out the back door and they do pretty well.
Well, it's an inexpensive solution for you anyway.
Yeah, exactly, and it does a lot to control mites and other and insects.
Mm-hmm.
Mites are not an insect.
No.
So I can't say other insects.
Mites and insects.
And insects. It does a pretty good job of controlling them. So anyway, that's kind of the deal on that. And I've had good luck with, I forget the name of the hybrid or the tomato, but I put some heirlooms in the backyard, and they're doing really quite well. Not getting very many tomatoes, but they're doing fine. Mainly because I think somebody's eating them on the way to the kitchen, if you're listening.
Oh, she wouldn't do that.
Never. But anyway, we're just about out of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk quickly about landscaping. We do quite a bit of landscaping here in town.
Yes, you do.
And we do offer design service
around the general area as well.
Right. We offer a design and then let you see what it looks like, not only from above, but in three dimensions and so on.
And
so
also...
I've got several on the board. I got several to present. And I emailed them out to a lot of people, too. So they can be, I can convert the images or the plans to a PDF file that you can pick it up on your computer.
And then you can also send them the material list as far as three of these and six of that and 14 wheelbarrows of amending materials.
Exactly, wheelbarrows. How about truckloads sometimes? But, yeah.
Tried to take it to the lowest common denominator.
Well, the advantage of it is you can see how retaining walls will work on your property, how they'll terrace the land and all that. And you can see how it looks in relation to your house and so on. So it's an interesting way to present a landscape design.
And then I think on your 3D plan, you can also kind of time-lapse it. So this is how it is at installation, 2 years, 3 years, 5, 10 years later, what it's going to look like.
Exactly. And we can do a phasing plan, too. A lot of times, it's a big bunch to swallow it all at once. So you can take it a bit at a time as well. Not necessarily having half the house done at once and half not, but perhaps doing all your ground prep. Ground preparation is 90% of the effort.
I'm going to take a chance. We've got 1 minute, caller. What can we do for you real quick?
Hi. I have a rhubarb plant.
Yes.
It's its second year in the garden, so I wasn't able to get anything off of it last year. But I'm wondering what time frame should I expect to be able to get something off of it.
Well, you should have gotten something already, I would say.
I'm
not overly familiar with rhubarb.
I had some in my backyard growing up. I would think mid-June, almost July, should be getting some.
Okay.
Well, it's got big leaves and the stalks on it, and one or two of them beginning to turn a little pink down at the base. And any of the stalks are good, right? You should cut the leaf off and use the stalk.
Yep.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Give it another few weeks, I guess. It's been a long time since I was growing up in that backyard.
Yes,
okay.
We had some in Chicago when I was a kid, so I haven't really had much experience with it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Charlie.
Keep your shovel sharp. See you next week, Charlie.
Are you getting married? Get the gift of life insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KW.